Speak to me, O Lord. Hello, and welcome to the Sisterhood of Motherhood podcast. My name is Nancy Morrell. I'm your host, and I want to welcome you today. The Sisterhood of Motherhood podcast is, my plan is to build a community down the road, you know, to have connections and subscriptions, maybe some threads, direct messages and replies, to have a, you know, conversations, maybe even accountability amongst us moms. And when I say moms, I mean mothers, of course, aunts, grandmothers, bonus moms, stepmothers, and even young girls that are planning to be mothers. So it's just really a very broad category that I want to appeal to. And my goal is to educate and inspire and inform moms, especially mothers that are new to being mothers. We can all help each other. I have three children. They are past their 20s now, but I've also been in education around children all my life. And motherhood is a great calling, and being an aunt, a grandmother, I mean, this is a very essential, monumental role and task in life. So you can do it. There's lots that we can all share with each other. So we're going to have different episodes about, like, defining motherhood, defining homes, different things about education especially, and even gardening, and also services and resources that I'm going to share with you, so that you're apprised of different things available to you and amongst our members, the Sisterhood of Motherhood members as well. So the first thing I'd like to do, and by the way, these podcasts, I'm hoping to be like 15 minutes. I'm hoping to do them at least every other week for now. But the first thing I'd like to do is I want to read an excerpt of the teenager wrote about what makes her home a home sweet home. So if you have a preteen or teen to be, and even a teen that's up in their teenage years, how do you make your home continue to be inviting, continue to be desirable to be in the home? I know what it's like to be a rebellious teenager. I was, and there's some phases that you just have to kind of let them be and just make sure that you know that they know that you are there and you love them. And I'm not talking about those special cases, which we will get into a lot of that probably down the road. But I want you to just hear this description. I want you to picture, does your home have something of an element that's in here? Does it have the visual? Does it have the sensory? Does it have the comradeship? Does it have the different things that are going to be described here? These are presented by a teen in her environment, but your environment should have something similar that fits your environment, whether it be in the city, in the country, or traveling on the road all the time. It goes, my home. My house is one of a few places I enjoy being at because my home has everything I need to kick back, relax, and take off a load. To get to my house, you have to travel quite a bit because my house is out in the country, far away from most people's homes. The drive to my house is long, and it takes you down an old dirt road. On that road, just before you reach my house, there's a canal on your right and a few houses to your left. You can hear the neighbors' dogs barking and see people riding around on their four-wheelers or trotting on their horses. My house, the fourth one in, is beige with a green roof and a matching pole barn in the back. If you follow my second driveway to the back, it'll take you straight past our chicken coop to the pole barn where we have our swamp buggy and old Chevy sitting. When you get out of your car, my cat Tuxedo will introduce himself by rubbing against your pant leg. The puppies in the pole barn will probably be whining for their mom because she just left them to greet you. You can smell the mixture of hay, chicken feed, and fresh cut grass as you walk up to the house. You can hear my horse neighing because she thinks you brought her some treats back from the store. When you reach the house and you open the door, the cold air will rush out to embrace you from inside. The television might be on, And if it is, it's usually on the news. If not, then maybe the radio will be on with a country station playing throughout the house and on the porch speakers where the music is piped out to. To the right is the kitchen, where someone is almost always making some homemade concoction for everyone to eat. If my mom is in the kitchen, she's probably whistling some long-lost tune that echoes through the house. Our tile floor and cathedral ceilings give any song beautiful acoustics. To your left on the wall are two antlers from a moose and an elk that my dad brought back from a hunting trip to Alaska. Our brown leather couches, Indian pattern rug, and old West photos give our living room a laid-back country feel. The view from our living room window looks out over a canal and woods that belong to thousands of acres of wildlife management land. After you pass the kitchen, my room is on the left, and as you walk inside, there is a bed right in front of you so you can lay down after a long day at work, as long as Tuxedo, my cat, isn't taking a nap on it. There are guitars on stands to the left of the bed and a dresser at the foot of the bed. My blinds are usually closed, but the lights are always on. You can hear my cockatiel chirping to be let out so she can sit on top of her cage. There are probably clothes and books on the floor from work or school, but my room is usually neat. There is an old single fin sitting underneath the window, which overlooks my backyard for show, and a surfboard rug on the floor below. Hanging from the pool chain is of the multicolored fan are tags from clothes that I buy. I have a few framed pictures of lightning, the beach, and a surfer to add some atmosphere. I usually redecorate my room every few months, so you never know how it'll look when you come over. I love my house because it is one of the places I'm familiar with and have my family and pets to look forward to when I get there. So as you build your home, I want you to think of this poem, this line in this poem. We are not all perfect. Our homes are not all perfect. But this line in this poem wraps it up for me. It says, and this is a poem, this is a line where God is speaking to us as we strive to have a good home, or as we strive to get things done in our life, to be good mothers. This is God speaking. He says, "Sweeter to me are failures made with a loving heart than all the pride and prudence that can boast." So you don't have to be perfect. You have to just be loving, and you won't be perfect. As a matter of fact, how you handle your imperfections will be a testimony and an example to your children, so that 10, 20 years down the road, they'll have something inside of them that'll teach them how to handle failures. So being a mother is an organic thing. It's a dynamic thing. It goes on, and it's continual. So in the description of this home, you can hear things, see things. This teenager built a life, a community, a familiarity, comfort, relaxation, dreaming, all of it. So how it pans out in your own home is up to you. And you don't force it. You kind of just give them their space and encourage and validate what you see in them in their own creativity. So the next thing I want to go into, leaving this topic, is I want to talk about education. We've all heard what charter schools do to our community. They cause a lot of fights between the established government schools. They're like the stepchild. They're not homeschooling, so homeschoolers, you know, aren't really interested in charter schools. But charter schools are very important, and they have a great success rate, and there's a great reason why. So I want you to watch this quick video, 3 minutes, of somebody explaining about the charter school in New Orleans, or the charter schools that took over New Orleans after Katrina.
Force is recognized. Representative Kiley, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Campbell, I want to ask you about the New Orleans experience, because it's such an important case study that in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, you had to rebuild the whole education system, and New Orleans went 100% charter. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so what have the results been in terms of student achievement?
The results have been nothing short of remarkable. So as we said, it was, you know, virtually a wasteland. It was one of the worst school districts in America prior to Hurricane Katrina. And you look today and you actually see a vibrant school system. It actually works very well. And contrary to what a lot of people said, the folks who started schools after Hurricane Katrina were education leaders who were already from New Orleans. It wasn't like there was some invading force that came in with all these charter schools. The reality is we empowered local educators who were already there, already operating schools, with a new way to be able to do it that they have embraced and ran with and done phenomenal things with. Right now, if you look at our state, New Orleans, again, was always at the bottom. It's in the top tier in terms of school district performance, in the top 40%. There's no way you would have expected that in New Orleans when you look at the demographics of New Orleans. And so we have veteran educators who love New Orleans, who have lived there their entire lives, who are running great charter schools. And if you ask them to a person, they will tell you they will never go back. That's the reality of what's happening in New Orleans.
So New Orleans went from among the worst to among the best after going 100% charter.
Yes.
So what would your message be to those who are waging this war on charter schools when they've been shown to produce such remarkable results?
I think the first thing we have to understand is this is really about money and control. Right. We can talk about all these other things, performance and all this. It is money and control. It is who gets to decide how kids are educated, where they're educated, and who gets to spend the money. And the fact is, now we have a situation where all of a sudden it's not all housed in one district. There are other people who can say, this is how we're going to spend our dollars. These are the results we're trying to achieve. For the first time, we have empowered poor families to say, I don't like what's happening in this school, and so I'm going to take my money and I'm going to move and go somewhere else. So at the end of the day, as long as we're talking about money and power and control, you're always going to have this kind of contentiousness. But let's not make it something else. It really is about money and power and control and who has it and who doesn't.
Now, that was a very interesting video. I watch a lot of C-SPAN and a lot of the debates with the representatives on these common issues. It's just so interesting because we debate these things amongst friends, and we all talk about these things. And you see them talking about them, and they're just like us. So it's just, it's good to see it where the rubber's meeting the road there, where they're spending our money and making laws. So just be educated the best you can. And part of being able to be educated is coming on my podcast. So make sure you subscribe and that you keep coming. Like I say, about every twice a month I should be starting on this. So I want to switch gears now into gardening and small family farming. There's two things I want to tell you that I think will help you a lot. The first thing is you need to start making your own mayonnaise. Now don't laugh, but mayonnaise is like $8 to $9 a jar now, not to mention you don't know what's in it half the time. I have a recipe, and I'm going to just tell you quickly. I'm not going to go over the whole recipe, but all it requires is eggs and oil. And then for the powders, it requires salt, dry mustard, and maybe a dash of cayenne pepper. And the last ingredient is lemon juice. So the way you make this is you put all the ingredients together except 3 cups of oil, and you just zap it for 5 seconds in your blender. Then the last thing you do, because it's like a two-part recipe, the last thing you do is you slowly pour in the 3 cups of oil in your blender, and voila, you got mayonnaise when you're done. And it's really good. So please try to think about these self-sufficiency from scratch recipes for your home. It's very important. You get a lot of pride out of it, you save a lot of money, and you're eating more healthy. So, you know, what can go wrong with that? And just so I can put in a little plug for my book, I have a book, Food Preserving for Beginners, a crash course. And I don't have the mayonnaise recipe in there, but you will be able to find out how to preserve fresh foods naturally in this book. I don't know if the glare is hitting it, but you can find this on Amazon. Just Google my name, Nancy Morrall, M-O-R-A-L. Food Preserving for Beginners, a Crash Course. So the last thing I'm going to share today is a little story. And it has, again, I guess to do with homeschooling, so education I'm coming back to, just to set the stage. We have a private school for homeschooling families, and we had processed scholarship money for severely disabled students. And my parents could hire and fire whoever they wanted for therapies, classes, and whatnot in a homeschool setting. It was great until they legislated us out. And I could tell you that whole story another time. Anyway, a mother came to me with her emotionally handicapped 9-year-old son, just in tears because the school put him in a room and tried their best. She didn't have any latitude to make decisions. She just got reports, and he came home, pretty much the same every day. So she joined our school, and she used the funds through the scholarship for hiring behavior therapists in her home and some other activities in her home. And she, within about 3 or 4 months, she just would come over to my office and just in tears saying, things are getting so much better, things are getting so much better. Her marriage is healed. She's become, her house has become a magnet for the neighborhood. Her son is happy. He feels fulfilled and like he's making his own decisions. And anyway, it just is a simple example of parental control and good motherhood engaging in your child's education. A lot of support in different facets are part of that story as well. But just the contrast of throwing your kids out to a school versus bringing them in to your control as a mom. So I just wanted to share that story with you before we head out for this session right now. And I guess that's it. And I just want to say thanks for tuning in. And please make sure you keep alert for my next episode. And I will see you later. Have a great day.